So we'll call the meeting to order, Santina, at 6:32. And we have missing is Sue Wemple is not with us. She may pop in if she can. Public comment, Eric, anything to say? Oh, I also want to say Arth won't be here. I attended the Friends meeting last night. I'll report on Friends for her, so she's skipping tonight. So we'll go right to the, if there's no public comment, right to the minutes, approval of the minutes for 4:20. Again, thank you, Arlene, for taking the minutes.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I move to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
Jim and Jane.
I'll second.
Who was missing though, besides myself? Was it just me?
It was Jane.
Oh, I can't second. Because I'm
right. You can't second.
Right. Thank you.
So who will second? That would be Fred or Arlene. Okay, Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And two abstaining, Jane and Santina. All right. Thank you. On to the treasurer's report. Am I in the right place? Okay. I am actually not feeling great. I'm a little fuzzy, so please forgive me. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Okay, let me put that down. Go ahead.
Any questions or comments on the financials?
I'm only one question on the page 1 of 3, down there in line 66510 electric. It looks like we're power consumption is running pretty high. We're only 80% of the way through the year.
Well, the price has gone up.
About $12,000. We budgeted $9,000 for the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the price has gone up. May not be the usage, but it reflects the increase in price. Deb, yes? The increase in the price of the bill, not the usage necessarily?
Right. Yeah, I wondered, looking at what we've all seen happening with the electric bill, I just wondered if it wouldn't be a good idea for the library to have National Grid come in and do, I don't know what they call it, but to see if they have any suggestions for energy saving for us. Because it seems as if, even before the increase in prices, our energy use is huge. And of course, the Ampion is saying that our energy use is way high. They're not talking about the cost, they're saying the energy use. Oh, I just wondered if it wouldn't be a good idea for the library to have somebody take a look at, what's using energy in the library and if there are possibly ways that we can cut back.
Can't hurt.
Other thoughts?
Well, like everything else, we'll dump this on Deb and ask her to contact NIMO or whatever it is, National Grid, excuse me, and see if they'll perform one of their free audits to come in and help us save money. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's a responsible thing to do for us, really, because again, maybe we were very naive about, even before the price increases, maybe we were very naive about what it was going to cost to, run our library. But if, just in case there are ways that we can save, then I think we ought to find out. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Put in a wood stove and turn off the heat pump. Yeah. That's the country solution.
Yeah. Budget fleece for the staff. Yeah. Okay, any other questions for Jim?
Just one other comment, and of course it has to go along with all that. I think this is the first year in the library's history that we're going to be running considerably over. I know starting out the year, we knew we were be a bit over, but I look at, we're at the total budget, we're at 84% without the snow plowing added in. We should be, the total would be what, about 82 or 83% now if we were on budget? Would that be correct?
83.3.
But this is without the snow plowing, which is apt to be, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, whatever it may be. Oh, I just again.
Well, our
just,
income looks good. We're at 108% of
yes, the budget. Yes. Mm-hmm. But again, that's, going forward, of course, it either means it means one of two things: that we've got to be, we've got to have a larger budget, or we have to cut back somehow. Because again, I would hate to see. I know we have a cushion because we have capital funds, but I think it would be a shame to start yearly dipping into capital funds to balance our budget at the end of the year. And then I was just wondering, I don't know, Jim, if, I don't think you usually do it yet, maybe you do it in June, is looking ahead to what we will need between July and October. I guess that I was looking at that other, the other page of the report that shows the balances. I guess I was sort of guessing that we were still a little bit under projecting of what we have for a balance in the, I'm not finding it now, operating account. But anyway, just an observation and a concern. Mm. Because again, this is the first we've ever come up with, had this situation, the first ever.
But we haven't had to deal with the inflation that we're dealing with now. Nobody could have anticipated that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not making any blame, Jane, to anybody. I'm just saying
I see
us going forward that we've got to be very careful and either present a larger budget or find ways. And I don't know what it would be. I don't think we overspend. If that's the case, then I think we have to project higher budgets going forward. Because again, I would hate for us to deplete the capital funds by balancing the budget to balance the budget.
Is it possible to change next year's budget between now and the election?
No.
It's been published, right?
Okay. Right. It's already been published.
Yeah, we will probably definitely take a hit next year. This upcoming budget will, I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, we should look at our kilowatt hour consumption on the electric bill, see how that has changed over time. And that the very fact that we're in trouble on that Ampian deal with the 25 kilowatt demand number would indicate something has changed. We're consuming more, we're demanding more. And therefore we changed our category, the way I read that letter.
Well, we weren't open all last year either.
Well, when we weren't open, maybe the thermostat was set back to an uncomfortably low figure.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I have had it very low. I've actually had complaints about how cool it is in here.
Go ahead, Fred.
I just wondered if there were complaints from staff or complaints from patrons.
Both.
Both.
Yeah, I would just again reiterate, I know from day one, we're always conservative and we're, you know, trying not to have the tax levy too high and all that. But I would like us to remember a cardinal rule, and that is that you have to ask for the funds that you need. You can't, you know, if you're saying, oh my gosh, we shouldn't, you know, we can't have that much. But if your budget is showing your expenditures from the year before are showing you need to increase whatever percentage it might be, we have to ask for that. Mm-hmm. You have to ask for the funds that you need.
Okay, noted. Other comments, questions? So we've got two things. One is to check the kilowatt hour usage and to contact National Grid to perform a free audit to see if there's something we're missing or something we can do. Does that cover it?
Yes. I think so. Yep.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, Jim. All right, on to the approval of bill payments, receipt flag, and petty cash. So we'll start with general operating checking, 416 through 429.
Oh dear, where's that? 416.
Find it, Brad?
I don't know.
All right, it's the first item is on 418. It's a deposit for $142. Did you find it?
Brad? Oh, yes, I found it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you said
I went on searching for the thing. I found it.
Okay.
But I had no comment on it.
So sorry. Okay. Misunderstood. All good. Second page, general operating checking, 430 through 513, 2022.
Find that one.
Our next page is operating grants checking 416 through 429. Two items. Next is operating grants checking 430 through 513. One item. Then we have petty cash, two items, April 2022. Next page is receipts log 414 through 511. I did that out of order, but okay. And the next page is the Visa bill with two items. 5-4 and 5-6, 2022.
It's great to see the Utica insurance dividend.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yay. Agreed. All right. So we'll go back and we're looking for a motion to approve the expenditures. Operating, general operating checking 416 through 429. General operating checking 430 through 513. Operating grants checking 416 through 429. Operating grants checking 430 to 513. Petty cash, April 2022. Receipts log 414 through 511, 2022. And the Visa bill, 422 through 516, 2022. We have a motion.
So moved.
Arlene.
I'll second.
Jane. Thank you, Jane. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Okay, motion carried. On to director's report. Thank you, Deb.
Welcome.
Thorough, interesting, and thorough as always.
So Deb, I want to know, does that DASNY notification pending approval, do you think that's a positive or is it unknown?
I'm not going to believe it till I see a check. So we will see, but it was a different person that sent the latest notification. So that either means they gave it to somebody else, which has happened twice before, or it's actually at a different stage. I think it is. I hope it is.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, 5 years later.
Yeah, just remind me, because it has been so long, but is that money earmarked for anything specific right now?
So basically what happened is as we were going along, in my mind, this should be reimbursement for funds that we've already expended on the electrical project, which is what we asked to be covered. But for some reason, the guy who's been I've been dealing with for the last few years kept saying, no, it's not reimbursement. It's you have to prove that you've spent everything on the entire project, the whole way, that it's all done. So that's what we've been waiting for. I finally gave him all the information. Then he did whatever he did and came back and asked for the same information. But anyway, one of the things that he had said to me was, well, if you've already finished the project, why do you need the money? So I said, well, there are things that we have not completed yet because we didn't have the money to complete them because we used it to pay for the electrical because we didn't get the money from you. So then he said, well, what are examples of that? So I said, well, we haven't done the blacktop, the top surface of the parking lot, and we didn't do the landscaping. So it's at least, I think, earmarked for that, but I don't understand if and when we get it, am I going to have to then again prove what we spent it on? That's what I'm not clear on.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering if when National Grid comes in and does this audit, if they come up with a possible solution to help us save money on electric, would we be able to use some of that money to pay for, you know, something that they may come up with?
I don't know.
So it was just a curiosity question. I'm sorry, okay. Everyone.
No, I think it's important to reference. It's the same questions that I had, Fred had, you know, when we signed the final papers. So thank you for bringing it up.
Remember that $100,000 was promised by Senator Tedesco, when people were still standing around the site with shovels at the groundbreaking ceremony. We're going to give you a nice $100,000.
We remember very.
And we needed that money then more than we do now, frankly.
We had no idea what the shovels would be useful for.
Didn't get to keep the shovels. They were rented.
Well, we needed that amount of money to prove to the school that we could go for the bond. I mean, that was a tipping point for us, that and the Stewart's donation.
Well, Stewart's donation was real money.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. This is funny money. We paid off a Confederate note.
Yep.
Well, I know. All right. Thank you for the question, Jane. Very good. I guess we'll see. It's a we'll see. Any other questions for Deb? It's good to see everyone coming into the programs, that's for sure.
Yeah. Deb, is this scheduling forward? Is this the first time that there's going to be story time at the pantry, or did I miss that before?
No, this is going to be the first time. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, you know, I'm not expecting a lot the first time, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping that the patrons of the pantry will start to get on board
mm-hmm.
coming that time with their kids.
Right, right.
We'll see.
That would be
an experiment.
Yeah, that's great. And I had one question, which I should have asked you when I was at the library today, but up at the top about the art exhibit. Is it possible to have the program room open during the day? The last couple of exhibits, I never gotten to see the artwork that's hanging in the program room. I mean, we look at it in the, you know, in the atrium there in the foyer hallway, but then the other door is always locked. And so you don't get to see the rest of the art exhibit.
I could do that. If anyone asks, I usually open the door.
Right, sure. But I can't see you being, you know, asked on and off two or three times a day to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, it's great that the art shows are there all the time, once a month, and that's wonderful. But it's nice to be able to see them.
Why do we lock the program room?
Because we can't see in there. And I try to keep anywhere locked that I can't physically see. That's all.
We don't have a camera in there or anything?
Oh, we do, but am I looking at the camera? No.
No.
That's all.
Well, I think it would be great if it's so that people can see it. And I don't know, maybe it's one of those things. If it becomes a problem, then you have to lock it back up. I don't know. Are there things out other than the paintings that are hanging? Are there things out that somebody could do something bad to or steal or whatever? Well,
the smart board is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no, not usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? I don't know if anyone has taken advantage of the trustees' handbook book club, but they've been really informative, really good. All right, I guess there's nothing else. We'll move on.
Okay.
Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome.
Correspondence, food pantry.
So we got a very nice thank you note from the pantry. It says, thank you so much for the many donations. You're a wonderful neighbor. Galway Food Pantry. That's it.
Great. All right. Friends report. I will report. We would like to go back to, thank you, Arlene, for the times that you attended the Friends meeting. Since there's no longer a foundation committee as part of Friends, which was Jim and I, I'll be looking for a volunteer from the board to attend a Friends meeting every other month. And then Ardith or someone from the Friends board would attend our meeting every other month. So this was our month to attend their meeting. So June, I guess it would be July, September, November this year. I'll send out a note to the board about that. They are working hard on getting ready for the book sale. And then I do have news about the rocking horse, but I'll just wait until we get to that because it's an unfinished business. So that's it. Standing committees, buildings and grounds. Sue is not here. She did send out an email with the progress so far. I guess one of the questions that she has, it's in unfinished business about the tree and maybe the rest of the landscaping. Should we save that until unfinished business?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
I would like to comment that, and this is just something to think about going forward. So far, with some pruning and weeding and one of the smaller gardens mulched, there's probably 9 to 10 volunteer hours. And it's not even half done. So this is the thing about gardens. They're really easy to put in and then they need maintenance. So it's just something to think about going forward. How is the mulch budgeted? Is it budgeted under maintenance? Is there a separate budget line for landscaping every year? Because something will need mulching every year. I don't know that we need to mulch every garden every year. They haven't been done in 3 years. But you know, even if we alternate, there's going to need to be something in the budget for maintenance of the gardens that are in. You can't ask the volunteers to pay for the mulch. It was great that Dan dropped off at no charge the mulch so far, and there's going to be probably at least twice that needed to do the big garden. We discussed with the people who, it was me and Pat and Sue and Deb, not the rest of the committee, wondering if, because it's really large, we hire that out and ask if the people who do the lawn would have time if we get the mulch to mulch it. It's really big. I went in there last fall and pruned back the damage. So far, there are a few shrubs that need to be replaced that we know of, but Sue is planning on looking at the master plan of what went in there.
How about the perennials in that garden? Did they get ripped up?
Well, it didn't get ripped up. They got chopped off, and perennials get cut back to the ground anyway.
Yeah.
Really hard to tell what's there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, because there are a lot of native plants, they're coming back. They got mangled and they're coming back. It does, of all the gardens, it's the least attractive and could use filling in. So just something to think about going forward. And then the discussion about, I guess we'll talk about the tree and finishing off that, the garden to the right, to behind the bricks.
Hey, Deb, is Creative doing the lawn mowing?
Yes.
Okay. Could we ask him just for a price, just that, you know, to see what it would cost for them to maintain the garden when they come and they do the other?
What do you mean by maintain?
Well, I mean,
to do the mulch?
Turn over the gardens and do the mulch and...
They will be happy to provide a quotation for whatever work we specify. We should expect to pay them extra beyond what they're being paid for now.
No, I understand that, but just to get an idea of...
Yeah, I believe that Creative is a landscaping firm with a broad variety of activities.
Right. I'm just saying, is that something we, you know, maybe should be looking into just to get an idea of how much it would cost?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we would need to define what we want to have done and then ask them to give us a price.
Well, maybe the committee could
regroup and figure out what to...
If we were going to have somebody come in, what would we want them to do? Mm-hmm. And then give that to Creative and just see what kind of a price they come up with.
Are there any good gardeners on that committee, on the Buildings and Grounds Committee?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time, Fred. We had a meeting to discuss the planting of the final area, not the final area, but one of the areas behind the bricks. We had a meeting, but then when it comes time to have, we want to have a professional put that garden in.
Yeah.
Because when it comes time to actually volunteer, who ended up being there was me, Sue, and Pat Flinton.
Could we consult with the Glenville Hills Garden Club, which covers this area, who do decorative planting at the Galway Post Office, for example?
That was discussed, and we didn't get far with it. Arlene, yeah, you were there for that meeting. Were you there for that meeting?
No, I wasn't. But no, I can tell you right now, it's like the maintenance of the garden, the spring maintenance of all those gardens are usually done with the sixth graders. Well, they're not doing it, and the school is talking about, we don't know going forward if we're going to have that help. So this year, the garden club members are doing all the gardens in the community. So I can't answer, but I would guess that at this point, they wouldn't be taking on anything else. I mean, it would be just listening. It would be great if we could get like a teenage garden club and, you know, have them, maybe some adults supervise and have them do some of the kind of work. Would be great to get some group involved because, you know, down the line, as Kate said, there's a lot that's going to need to be done there. And it's, it's one thing to buy the mulch, but if you have to pay by the hour to have everything done, the weeding and the trimming and the this and the that, there's going to be a considerable expense every year. So if we could have a volunteer group who would do that, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, 10 hours thus far to do, mm-hmm. not even half, yeah. And mm-hmm. I mentioned the Master Gardener program at Cooperative Extension, but because I am a Master Gardener and I attend those staff meetings, I know that there are a lot of demands for those volunteers and they're spread a little thin. So we can always ask, but I don't know what the solution is. Maybe there is. I think that's a great suggestion to have actually have a garden club.
Once the gardens get back in control, because really, yeah. I don't think there was any hard weeding done after the first year. I know Julie and I hard weeded the front two gardens. We didn't do the circle, but that was 2 years ago. And I noticed last year there was clover growing in, which takes a lot of time to remove. Yeah.
Was it just 2 years ago? Was it during the pandemic, Arlene, or was it 2019 before?
No, it wasn't 19. It would have been during 20 sometime. That summer.
2020? Okay. Yeah, so during summer. The pandemic. It's always like pre-pandemic or?
No, it was that summer when things, you know, were not so bad and it, you know, you're outside, so it was fine. Yeah. But okay, again,
just curious.
Yeah, already then the clover is really tough. And then you may remember, was it last year that I asked and Jim was nice enough to go in and pull up the locust trees that were starting to grow. I think maybe you helped with that, Kate. But
no, Jim did the locusts. I did the pruning. Mm-hmm. Just briefly, so we don't take a lot of time with this. Arlene, in your experience, I mean, do you feel like, I don't know if we need to mulch every garden, top mulch every garden every year, or if we do like alternate gardens? Sometimes if you have enough mulch, you don't have to mulch every year.
Right. Right. See, personally, at me at home, I do not mulch. I don't do any of that. I plant my plants close enough together and hopefully they don't, but that's not going to be there. I know for Garden Club, Lynn Kinniger is in charge of the post office planting and she mulches there every year, but she's a great firm believer in mulch. I had thought Joe Danable said to us that we probably didn't need to do every garden every year, but we're way beyond. Plus the first mulch in front there, there was some kind of undermining. So I don't know if it's still there to the left of the doorway. Actually, we had talked with Butler, Rowell, and Amaze about fixing that because it had all gotten undermined and sunken in. I remember walking in it one day, actually weeding and falling through about 8 inches. So, but I don't think Butler, Rowell, and Amaze ever came, you know, that anybody ever addressed that. That was the very first year. Well, so, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll...
Once the shrubs get big enough, obviously, they're going to shade out a lot and you won't have a whole lot of extra stuff.
That would be great, wouldn't it? They're pretty puny stuff.
Yeah, and the perennial plants, though, were going great. So I hope they're still there. I mean, they were.
They are. Yeah. They're coming back.
Yeah, the blue giant lobelias and the echinacea and some kind of penstemon. They were huge plants in all the gardens.
Yeah, they're coming back. We actually had to take some that receded that are close to the shrubs. We had to take them because they're crowding a little too much. Yeah, they're coming back. All right, so we'll talk about the tree. The other thing was that Sue wanted to bring up is about extending the garden the whole way. When you're looking at the bricks, the garden was planned to end, and then there was a little patch of grass. And to extend that the whole way so there's no grass in that area behind the bricks. And plant maybe a lilac or some other small tree at the end of that. So there are hydrangea planned in that and then have a tree at the very end. And so what are the feelings of the board about that? Just fill the whole thing in. Instead of having grass, because the grass will also then creep into what is planted.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea. And I would ask Joe Danable if he'd come and volunteer once more and give us some idea of what to plant. I really trust him implicitly. That's his job. Plus, he personally grows perennials and shrubs, and he's a gardener.
Okay, we'll pass that on.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so that was the recommendation that from the committee to go ahead and extend that. Okay. I guess we're finished with that for now. We'll talk about the tree when we get there. So moving on, Finance Committee, Jim?
Our last finance committee, I sent out a report to everyone saying that the committee was recommending that we close the one custodial account that we have. To refresh everybody's memory, the custodial account was originally set up to be able to accept stocks as gifts. And we haven't done it since the last time somebody gave us stocks. And the bank was kind of pushing for us to close it. We have like a little over $100 in there. So we'd close the account, we'd get that back. I talked with the bank, one of the officers, and he assured me that we could reopen that or open up a new one very quickly if we wanted to. So that shouldn't deter us from closing it now. So I would ask the board, well, I will make a motion that we close that account with Boston Spa National Bank.
Okay, I'll second your motion, Jim.
Would you like to word what that account is for Santina's benefit?
It's the custodial account, and I don't have my paperwork where I had to move. I believe it's is 8863. If someone can look on the balance sheet, it'll indicate it down there.
Look at the balance sheet.
It's about three quarters the way down the page, perhaps. Custodial account.
Hold on. I don't find
the. Here it is. Custodial account. 0863.
Ah, okay. 0863. That sounds right.
Do we need the 301 after that?
No.
Okay.
That's enough to identify it.
Okay. Custodial account 0863 with Boston Spa National Bank. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carried. Thank you, Jim. Anything else from personnel or not personnel from finance?
Yes. I would like to have the finance committee at our next meeting review our funds and how we're allocating the money or how we want to allocate the money. That is to say, we've got a chunk of money right now. And the way things are, we are losing 10% of that money because of inflation every year. So it's a good time to look at it and see what kind of investments do we want to make in light of the high cost of our electrical bill. Do we want to look into our own solar? And I realize this branches over into long-term planning also, but from a financial standpoint, I think we've got to kind of look at what we're doing with the money. Do we want to use it to buy books, allocate so much every year, or whatever the interest we get on it is, which is virtually nothing. These are the things we have to look at. Or what other things didn't we do when we were trying to build a library? We had talked about geothermal heating, and that was going to cost around $100,000. I don't have any idea what it would be now, and I don't know how much. I don't think there's a whole lot we could salvage from what we did with the heat pump and whatnot, but these are things that have, you know, that should be looked at. And if anybody else has any ideas on what they think we should be doing with our let's say surplus funds, funds that aren't in operating right now and don't have a specific project associated with them. Just give me a call or drop me an email, and we'll kick it around at the finance meeting and see what they think.
Okay, great.
That's it.
Thanks, Jim. All right, we'll go on to personnel, Jane.
Oh, okay. Well, right now we're working on Deb's evaluation for this year. And we'll, this month coming up, discuss the creation of the employee handbook. We'll start to take a look at that also. Okay, so right now that's where we are.
Okay. Thank you. Arlene, long range plan.
Nothing.
Great. All right. Public relations, Santina.
Nothing from the committee. There's been no meetings.
Okay. On to unfinished business, volunteer reception.
So are we ready to actually... for the third time set a date and believe we're going to be able to get through that?
I was all set when I brought it up originally. I'm nervous now.
Yeah, I think the number of cases is just too high.
Well, I did look back at last year's folder notes. You know, Deb and I had met. We had the invitation done. We were starting to print it. All kinds of, you know, plans, timelines, invitation lists and things were being prepared before it all went away. So, I mean, we, you know, it's not that it takes months of planning. We do have to choose a date ultimately. And then within a few weeks of that date is when we would then send out the invite, get some RSVPs, and then just hold it. So, I would think that, you know, pulling it off as we get closer will be the decision whether we can or cannot. But if we don't set a date, we can't just have that in mind and on the calendar. So I feel like we have to just go with a date at this time and then let it play out as we have in the last 2 years.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, we had all the postcards printed, so we wasted a lot of paper and ink on that.
Right.
That's my only concern. The rest of it is, I don't think, a waste of time because we'd have to, you know, make sure everybody's on the list to be invited anyway. And we just, you know, would have to make sure that's updated and then we would have it going forward. And I don't think there's going to be a ton of people to add since we had planned for it before. But it, obviously, it's up to the board. If you want to set a date, we can set a date. I'm just nervous about it at this point.
Well, it doesn't hurt us to set a date, just to have it. Does it to set a tentative date and not move on anything until we revisit it next month? These things tend to. Well, there's so many people now who are sick. The numbers have to come down again at some point. I don't know.
True.
Well, my point is, right, we can set the date. We won't do anything printing or anything until we get closer, which is what happened, though. We were that close that we started printing them out, you know, about 3 weeks ahead, because I remember it was in August, early August, that we were doing it. So, again, just if we don't lock a date in, how do we plan? If we wait too close, then there could be lots of other things already on a calendar by then, or other people's calendars have filled out because we didn't save the date. That would be my only thing about saying choose a date, and then we'll just have to see where we are as we get to that 3-week mark of which time we have to take action and start mailing invites and such.
Right. Santina, what was the date last year?
August 28th, the last mm-hmm. Saturday of the month.
So this year it would be the 27th.
Right. If that's the chosen right. time frame.
I mean, if we chose the last weekend, we had a lot of discussion about why we wanted it to be in August rather than later.
Right.
To catch the summer people and et cetera. So comments?
Deb, do you see anything of the calendar around that time? Of a conflict?
I won't be here that weekend.
Well, that's a conflict.
And I'm not sure about the weekend before it either. The calendar's free for the library, but I don't know if I'll be here.
When's Labor Day this year?
The 5th.
Yeah.
So the following weekend.
It's Labor Day weekend. Yeah.
Thoughts? Don't everyone talk at once?
Well, do we go earlier in August or do we go into early September? Thoughts on those?
Well, I said the reason we didn't go into September, right, was because people leave, the summer people are gone. So we would cut that whole group out.
So, do we have any idea? I'm just curious. I know we've talked about that in general, but I'm not familiar with really who we're speaking about. What kind of numbers are we talking about out of the list of volunteers that would account for? Because you have no guarantee that anybody's going to come until they RSVP anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like, I mean, I understand the consideration of that, but if we're on our third year of trying to plan this and wanting to be sure that the majority of us can be there, including our director, and we're having to move the date forward or back, I also think we have to consider how many of these people are we talking about that are possibly affected if we did change the date to September. Maybe we can get a feel.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I could try and figure it out and email you and let you know.
Yeah, and then we can maybe set a date next month for sure then with that information in mind.
Okay. I mean, right now, August 13th is the end of the summer reading program, but she doesn't have anything planned for that day. So I think that's open.
And okay. How about September 10th?
And September 10th is currently open as well.
I can't do either of those. I'm
great.
Facilitating retreats both those weekends. So
how about the 17th of September? Is it possibility just to have a couple of possibilities?
Yeah.
The 17th is, that looks okay, I believe.
Santina?
Okay.
Kate?
Not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure. But I'm hoping to travel in September and I don't know the dates. Having not traveled in years. Mm-hmm. But that would, you know, if I leave midweek the following week.
Well, we're also looking at August 13th, right?
I'm not.
Can't do it.
I can't do it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Working. All right. So if we put this on, we'll table this until next month. And then figured, and I think the important information is how many people would we be, what percentage of the volunteers would be gone in the fall and after Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah, that might help decide if we have to go either earlier or later, what our better option is, and also working around conflicts of, you know, key members who I think need to be there.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Santina.
Thank you.
Rocking Horse. I went to the Friends meeting last night to ask. They partnered with the library for the last Rocking Horse. Ardith and Sharon both remembered having the Rocking Horse on display at the old library. And they didn't call it a raffle. I'm sorry, I don't have my notes or my purse. What word did they use? A drawing. They called it a drawing. They were able to call it a drawing. And they sold tickets for the Rocking Horse and had the drawing on Memorial Day. They are willing to do that again. They were actually excited about it. They would underwrite the tickets and all of that and partner with the library to have drawing tickets available and then have the drawing next year, Memorial Day. So we have a home, a temporary home for the Rocking Horse once it's painted in terms of raising funds through Friends. What they did ask is if, because the last time it was for the building fund. And so they thought it would be better received and a good idea to have it for a specific project. So that will be something to think about and come up with over the next few months.
So we're talking about Memorial Day next year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But a special project. So that when people are donating to the drawing,
they think they're donating for something.
Yes, specific. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
And thank you again to Dusty for making the Rocking Horse.
Not that it makes any difference, but it wasn't raffled on Memorial Day. It was a special day, different day.
Okay.
And Marcia Bolio was the one who did it. The Friends helped sell tickets, but the Friends really, you know, they probably remember it, but they weren't.
Well, I figured you'd have, we all said Arlene should be here because she will remember exactly closer to what happened.
The library did it, and Marcia Bolio was in charge of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, they said they can't really run out and sell tickets, so it would need to be on display. But they would underwrite the printing of the tickets, and they would do the drawing next Memorial Day, as we had suggested.
Yeah.
When this all came up, they thought that was a great idea.
So, are you saying they're not willing to sell tickets?
No,
I didn't say they weren't willing. I said they would. They wanted to be on display at the library. They would come in monthly and collect the money. They'll take care of the bookkeeping
Most of the tickets were sold by individuals last time. People worked very hard to sell the tickets. There were not many tickets sold at the library. People, board members, Friends members, and volunteers sold the tickets. But again, it doesn't mean you can't do it the other way. I'm just saying that is not how it went.
They did reference that. They said that people worked very hard to sell the tickets.
They did reference
that. Yeah. So we're at a different time.
It was only at the library a couple times. It was not at the library much. No.
Okay. We have a bigger library.
It was at Memorial Day in the park, but that isn't when it was drawn. And we did sell quite a few tickets that day. It was in Memorial Day. And then, I don't know it was just a special day when it was drawn that there happened to be actually McCole, our director at the time, her daughter drew the ticket for us. And there were just, it was just a small gathering of people.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it sounds like it'll be a little different, structured a little differently, but details will come through. Thank you, Arlene. All right.
You're welcome.
Tree, we're eliminating the whatever pair it has been canceled because we've learned that it has invasive qualities. And we are looking at a new tree for to the left of the library as you look at the building where the Bradford pair was going to go in, or whatever pair.
Cleveland.
The suggestion, the recommendation of people who chimed in was to put a prairie fire crab apple there. Bob has one that's quite mature. He grows them there. They'll do well. It will do well there. It grows to 20 foot high, 15 foot diameter. There are prairie fire crab apples planted all over the village, so it will be part of that tradition. What does everyone think? Or he also has, we wanted to know what was in stock. So when he comes to plant the other trees, we can get that installed at the same time. He had a pagoda dogwood, Deb?
Yes.
In but stock. And he also had, what was the other one?
It would be very small.
It's very like small.
5 gallon bucket, small.
Right. And then an equal, almost as small, what was the other one?
A magnolia.
Magnolia. So this is where you get to answer. What do you think should go in there?
You know, I'm for the crab apple, but I already said that before, so I don't know what.
Okay, I'm for the crab apple. It's a nice size already. We have someone to put it in. Anyone else have an opinion? Don't care.
Whatever you think is best. I know very little about these kinds of things, so I go with your expertise. You, the two of you.
Where is this located again?
As you look at the building to the left, that area we wanted outside the reading nook to have a bench over there and a little quiet reading spot.
Okay. The smaller the tree, the better.
Well, so, it doesn't, it only grows to 20 feet. So that's as big as it's going to get.
That's probably not too bad.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of something falling on the library, you know.
No, it won't. Mm-mm.
Good.
Okay. I'm not hearing anything. So I guess we're going with the prairie fire.
Okay.
Yay. All right.
I will tell Bob's trees tomorrow and they will schedule hopefully getting them planted.
All Yay. Them. Exciting.
And then we can crab about it later.
Yes.
For sure. I'll meet you under the crab tree. All right. On to new business. Community solar.
I did get in touch with Karina, the woman from Community Solar. And just out of curiosity, I wanted to see what our average usage is that they're going by to say that we're over. And she said 26,000 kilowatts versus 25 is the cutoff.
Oh,
I noticed in the letter, she did suggest that she would keep an eye on it and let us know if some reason we're able to get it down. So I don't see anything wrong with just asking her to do that. But I don't know how everybody feels.
Thank you, Jane. And there's another benefit of having the audit done to see what's going on where our usage is.
Right. Because I'm not comfortable, you know, with going with that 10-year plan.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't think anybody is.
All right. So my question is, do you want me to just get in touch with her and tell her yes, to let us know if our usage decreases at some point that would make us eligible?
And that we're looking into trying to reduce our usage, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because in that contract, a 10-year contract ties her hands completely from getting out of solar. So that's not happening. No.
Right.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay.
Any further discussion about that? All right, so we already discussed closing the securities account. That motion was made and passed and carried. So I don't know if there's any other business.
Jane, sorry. Okay. You said you would talk to Karina?
Yeah, I'll get in touch with her.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't have to deal with that. What I will do, Deb, is I'll put you on the email.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, I have a quick question. I didn't see anything. Is the library doing a float in the parade this year?
We are not.
Oh.
Well, we don't have a float because we had to take it apart.
Hmm. Well, that's too bad.
It is.
We've been in the parade since before the library opened. You're starting the year before the library opened. Well, I'm disappointed. Maybe next year.
I hope so. I the cost of wood to rebuild it at this point is a lot, I think. It's not a lot of wood, but wood is not cheap right now to get. Nope.
Really high. Really, really high.
Yeah.
Can't get somebody's pickup truck, huh? Oh, that's too bad. All right. So any other comments? Eric, you've been very patient listening to all of us. Thank you for coming.
No, nothing to cover. Comments?
Okay. All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Arlene.
Arlene, second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstaining? Motion carried. We are adjourned at 7:34.
Stay safe, everybody.
Okay.
I just want to mention before you go that the governor's order goes through June 15th, which is our next, I think it goes through the 15th. Would that be right, Dan?